As the silent seconds dance in their eternity about me and set aflame again the fire to inspire my nimble fingers to procure the pen and awaken it in a resurrection, transforming the ink to the blood of the writer. As once again he bleeds his acquired wisdom like a light into the world.
Good morning, Carborough and the Big Chill. This is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else, coming at you from WCOM 103.5 FM. I'm here in the studio with my co-host, John Paul McClellan.
Good morning.
And we thought we'd let him have his good morning. And also, once again, D-Most.
Hey, good morning. How are we?
We're going to go on with D-Most a little later on. He is, among other things, a rapper, a theater director, both on the theatrical side of things, as well as writing and producing, as well as working the technical end of things, which is actually how we met. But we will go on to that in just a little bit. This is, again, WCOM 103.5 FM, coming at you loud and clear. Just want to make a quick announcement. WCOM now has opportunities for local businesses to underwrite a show on Carborough and Chapel Hill's all-volunteer, listener-supported community radio station. Because there is no commercial clutter, your message will always stand out. And to find out more, you can email underwriting@communityradio.coop or leave a message at 919-929-9601. I am very pleased to report that the historic Carolina Theatre of Durham has chosen to support the Speakeasy.
Yay.
And we will be picking them up, or they'll be picking us up, I think, come July. So I think that's how their year goes. So that's when they're joining forces, and we will start announcing everything that's happening at the Carolina Theatre of Durham. John Paul, a little later in the game, is going to have his 10-minute slice of the Unmedia, letting everybody here know the things that the media out there, propagated and owned by the rich, do not want us regular Joes to know.
Hmm.
Any bones for that soup?
There's lots of it.
Oh, God, yeah, it's endless.
I'm going on, since this is the 60th year of the anniversary of the founding of Israel, I'm going to read a piece that was written by Jimmy Carter that was published yesterday.
Wonderful.
That's very revealing and actually speaks the truth about what's happening over there and what has happened.
And I take it this is something that is not being widely reported at present?
It is not. You will never hear the mass media, mainstream media, telling the truth about what actually is the history of the conflict there or what's really going on there now.
That being Israel. So anyway, we're going to get back to that. And what I'd like to do right now is introduce a personal friend, as well as an artist extraordinaire, Mr. D-Most, and hey. I will let you take it from there, brother.
Hey, it's funny that he was talking about the Gaza and the history and where they don't get to. So this is kind of what we're doing today. We're doing some history of some little bit of hip hop and some poetry and some things, and we'll get it started.
Meaning that I am going to basically compliment D-Most's work with some works of my own as we go through the show.
All right, well, we ready to get this started, John Paul? We start this off slow.
We're on.
You're
going.
All right. You're on, okay. Baby.
You're already rolling.
So it's funny. These first couple of things I'm going to do, right, is it's actually off of being on shows. There was a live jazz show at the Carolina Theater, and these guys were playing this jazz tune, and it was so great. And they recorded the whole show live. And after the audience was gone, they went back and redid a couple of things, tightened some things up that didn't sound as good in the live performance. But they still did it live, you know, recording it there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting off stage, and they're playing this tune, and it is just so hot. And next thing I know, I've written a song.
I'm just writing.
So, and this is more of, you know, one of those kind of love song kind of things, but it's still hip hop. But at that time, I didn't have any particular one. You know, a couple of people thought, oh, you wrote this for me, but no, not so much.
I like to think so. Yes.
It's just a vibe that was going on. But this one is called A Whole Lot of Love. And the hook is I got a whole lot of love, loving for you, loving for you, only for you, for you, I got a whole lot of love, loving for you, only for you, for you, Smooth as a rose petal, soft as a baby's skin, deep as a teardrop, that's the feeling. Driving real fast with the windows down, like the roar of the sea, girl, you make my heart pound. Profound as a kick drum, mellow as a sax, your love attacks, it throws me aback. I relax for you, and you creep in like Luther Vandross. My words are at a loft, my control is thrown off. Your mere presence makes me a whole man, calm as a cat, wild as a hooligan. I demand for your space to be peaceful and blessed. You're the one I address. You're the one I impress. Strive to do my best. Never build. Strive to build a nest. Rest in my arms. Close your eyes while I attest. I got a whole lot of love. Loving for you. Loving for you. For you. So that's just, you know, that's just, that's just, you know, and there's, you know, there are a couple more verses off of that. But that's one of the things that I see coming back more and more in hip hop right now is like a lot of live stuff going on, a lot of live bands, like one of my favorite groups are the Roots, and they, oh my gosh, if you ever get a chance to see those guys live performing, they just do. They really take hip hop to a place that's been lost for a while.
Now, I was going to say, I know that's been a big concern of yours, is where you saw hip hop going originally and the kind of funky direction and strange turns it's taken since then. I know you were going to elaborate
on kinda,
some of that.
It's kind of coming back around, you know, a little bit more, a little bit more here and there.
You mean kind of cleaning itself up and shaking off some of that stuff?
It's a cycle. It's like music, all kind of music, every genre. You go through a time where it's pure, and then it goes through these phases.
Let's try this.
Pop music in the '80s went to synthesizers and so forth, and you know, and people hated that, and then we went through the grunge, and now it's back to this. Yeah. So you know, But a lot of the messages, just what people need to hear, are gone. I mean, I've got this one. This is Carolina Love, and this is really, really like. And this was like a growing up in Carolina. I lived in Philly for 20 years, but going to church, representing with my people, learning the scriptures, feeling the meanings, learning the yes sirs and yes ma'ams can take you just as far as a handful of cash. Going to grandmom's for Sunday dinner, stomach all tight, kid feeling like a winner. Worked all hard week, slavery is dead, but you couldn't tell that from the sweat on my forehead. Blessed to have a job and not be out. My man's laid off, now he's South. Options to grind, option to find some work right here across the county line. Seeds is good, everybody is cool. Ain't had to go to school because one acting fool. Wife got work, now she's feeling better. Last week's sermon was on stormy weather. This is Carolina. This is how we flow. This is Carol. You know what I mean? See, the words that I'm saying are just everyday things. People know about going to grandma's for Sunday dinner. You know, cutting grandmom's grass. It's just, you know, and there's a group that's coming. Their album is coming out. Gosh, the guys out of Kentucky, Nappy Roots.
Oh yeah.
They have that kind of just down home, you know, neighborhood, good kind of, you know, good educational. Mm-hmm. Some things that are just not about.
And obviously, this thing cut a little bit into your split from Philly.
Yeah, it actually did, because that particular piece right there was when I came from Philly and got back into North Carolina. It was one of those, man, I'm back home. And
now you say back, do you mean originally you weren't raised and lived in Philly?
No. Originally, okay. I'm from, originally born in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Ah, okay. Well, and, you know the South then.
Yes. And then leaving and going to Philadelphia, living there for 20 years and coming back. But the words are what's missing. Me growing up in hip hop, we have a cipher, and a cipher is just a gathering, a circle of people. Mm-hmm. You know, there are various types of ciphers, but we're going to talk about a hip hop cipher right now, which is basically passing words back and forth around in a circle. Now, if you take that to a different place, you could have another kind of cipher where we passing some other things around in a circle. So if y'all get where I'm coming from on that. Okay, right?
Yes.
I'm slightly familiar with that. Yeah.
I was going to go do that with Rastaman.
Well, there you go. So you know, I'm riding on the bus and with the young people, you know, because I'm not that young, but we're going at it, going back and forth, and they're just missing words. And that's the whole educational process of our community, of our country, where these kids are so quick to just say anything and not be educated. I said this one particular line to this guy from one of my songs. Continuously creating combustible material that blows up your soul and leave you sick like diphtheria. Now, the lady in front of me had on a nurse's outfit. She busted out laughing.
I can imagine so.
She was like, that is so cool. But the kids that I was rhyming with had no clue of the words that I was using.
Yeah.
Continuously creating combustible material. Gone.
Too many syllables.
That blows up your soul and leave you sick. Like, that's the hip hop that I came from.
They haven't been playing with a dictionary. That's why.
And that's the basis of where I came from. We use words. That was you became a wordsmith in poetry or hip hop. You're a wordsmith. You use these words. You turn a phrase. You turn different things.
And no matter how entertaining you make it, you do want it to have the educational element because that's its depth.
But
ultimately.
See, that's it. And it's the thing of when we started. When it started, it was like, well, how deep are you? You know, I said this word that blew you away. And it's like, oh, he used that. You know, literally. It would make you go and grab a dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, it's not so much because it's the same words. It's the same, you know, the filth and foul. I hate to quote Bill Cosby, but you can say that easy. You know, you can do that. You know, that's not hard. I'm sitting. We were doing sound check for Lou Reed, and they're playing this funky thing. They're just jamming. You know, they weren't doing a song. They're just, you know, they're just checking. They're just going, and sitting there with them. Listen to this. Damage caused by delinquent danglers, hanging on the tip like stifling stranglers, claiming hip hop, yo, they still wearing Wranglers, perplexed by participles, you know, just dangling. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't know English, then, you know, if you're an English major or you know English, then that's, a dangling participle.
Yeah.
But that's right next to the principal's office, right?
but you know, this is the way, you know, that the old school hip hop was. And a lot of people think, oh, well, it's old school, you know, well they weren't talking about this, they weren't talking about that. No, we used words. Yeah. We used them creatively to make you think, oh, that was, you know, that was hot. You know?
And then mm-hmm. you had this, like you were saying, you had this movement away from that to what I call self-referential writing.
Right.
Which is all about, look at me, look how great I am, look at how fabulous I can do everything.
Well, see, one of the things you got to understand, I'm sorry to cut you off. You had what was called battle rap.
Yeah.
And battle rap was basically me against you.
Right,
ego clash.
That's one of the parts of rap music is that.
And that's not
to
say that's not legit. It's
right.
Just, but you know, when that becomes everything,
yeah. Then when that becomes everything,
why?
Yeah.
Why
would it's
I
still
want,
part of a good rap show when you see two guys going at it on stage?
Great.
But
well,
you're
see,
right.
Well, see, and it's fun that way. But if it's everything, then it's just no.
Well, we've got to remember where it came from, and rap. Started in the battling and the battle rap and the breakdancing was, you know, this was in New York when this was the early gangs, and instead of fighting, we battle on a microphone,
right?
Or we battle out in the street dancing. It's your crew against my crew.
You would break. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or we'd battle. So, you know, you come in. I'm talking about everything you got on. I'm going to talk about your mom, and mine is better than yours. But once again, like you said, it doesn't become everything.
Right. And kind of makes up for not getting killed out in the street.
It did.
Yeah.
Because after the battle was over, maybe you shook hands, maybe you didn't, but you went home and wrote something else. Right. And we came back and we battled either the next day or next week or, you know, and they were, you know.
Nobody got dead.
Nobody got dead.
Words instead of stones, knives, and guns.
Yeah.
Well, you know, also, I wonder, and I'm pretty sure there must be a connection. This stuff comes to some extent, I think, it's got to have something to the period of coffee houses when you had poetry and right. music, and it was very similar to rap.
Yeah,
you know,
it was
people reciting poetry.
The beatnik
having,
era,
right?
And
exactly,
sort of the beat
exactly,
thing.
Exactly.
And that's got to have had some big influence.
It did. It's. I mean, everything. One thing begots yeah. the other. But yeah, the same. I mean, I was sitting listening to some Ohio players at home, and this was 1972, 73 or whatever, and we're sitting there, and I'm cooking dinner, and I'm just listening to the old 1970 stuff. And he was rapping. It wasn't called rap, but it was the same thing. And he got that from the guys in the 60s, who got it from the guys in the 50s. Mm-hmm. And as each generation, comes along, they put their own little spin on it.
Oh, yeah.
And their own little twist on it. And our thing was, when we started, we would take the breaks of a particular song and loop it. And back then, before there was all of the technology, you had two turntables.
Oh, yes, exactly.
One of my first songs that I did in a studio was off of In Excess, What You Need. What you need, give me what you need, yeah. Yeah. Give me what you need, I'll give you what you need, yeah. And then, we just took two of those, mm-hmm. and kept that beat going. Yeah.
And it took some talent to spin those things.
Oh, yeah,
man. You had to be a bit of a musician
and
in that
catch
regard.
That, and catch that beat. And
catch it
going.
And sync it up and sync so it would continue on. Yeah.
And see, that's the thing about that's lost with I think a little bit of with this generation is that being an MC, it's like being a lead singer to a band. If the band is playing, you gotta catch the groove that the band is playing. Jump in on them. You might want to adjust a little bit, tell them to slow it down or something like that. But you gotta vibe with the band.
Sure, sure.
MC, you've got to catch what the DJ's doing.
Yeah.
The DJ sets the tone. If he's playing this and he's cutting this and he's going this way, then you got to jump in. Okay. Grab the beat, ride the beat, and just go.
Right.
And then entertain the crowd.
Just to let you folks know, we don't have a DJ spinning that for him, so he's spinning it all right now. He's spinning the whole yarn.
Yeah.
So, and right now it's funny because one of the pieces that we're working on right now with some of the younger guys, because I'm trying to help some of the folks in our Durham area.
Speaking of that, what about that show you're putting on? You're working on?
I am. My play is just on hold right now because of the season that we're in. We're at the mm-hmm. end of the seasons, and everybody is busy. And so are we.
For that matter, Theater Tech is kind of fading out this time of year.
Well, yeah, but right now, the last one of my challenges has been I have a lot of kids that I'm incorporating because I try so much to incorporate the young people because there are so many things that they can get into.
Give us the name of your show again and information.
It is Out of the Ashes, The Voices of Watts. It's the book is Out of the Ashes, called The Voices of Watts, and it's a book of poetry, short stories that came out of the Watts riots in 1965. I've just really got to see. My challenge right now is putting together a rehearsal schedule.
Well, I understand that.
Because by having the young people, the easiest thing to do is on a Saturday. But at the end of everyone's season, graduations, and so forth in our business that we're in, mm-hmm. Saturdays are not free. So I've got to go and work. And, I'm as much as I'm an artist, I'm still a dad. Mm-hmm. And I've got a couple young folks graduating from various levels of school. So that means, bills, money. I got to go out and work. So
give the folks some contact information for when you start bouncing that ball again.
You can always get in touch with me. The easiest way to get in touch with me is DMOST67@hotmail.com. And that's really the easiest way. And if you want some information about the play or you have some young people that may be interested in performing poetry, well, I take people that do poetry, singers, actors, writers, all of that, because with this particular style of play, it's totally different where most of the time you have a lead character, mm-hmm. You have a lead male, lead female, whatever. This one is more about the words. So when we get in, we do the reading around the table, and as we start reading, ooh, you sound great doing that part, and you sound great doing that piece, and it just starts. It's about the words.
Yeah,
it's about the words.
Actually, yeah, story as in many stories.
Right, and that's what happens is that within this, as the way that I put the pieces together, one piece, you read this, and then and it just tails into the next one. It tails into the next one, and it just it's not a story. It's not a story because it's a book of poetry. But as you start putting them together, and you hear how this one ends, and this one picks up, and then we put a little movement in there, then it becomes a nice piece of art.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of poetry, I'm going to jump on on one over here. Since you're doing all the romantic stuff, I'm going to go a little edgier.
Okay.
This is probably more in keeping with John Paul's Unmedia here. This is a piece I wrote. Actually started when I was performing with Daddy-O in Cape May, New Jersey.
Hey, Daddy-O.
Yes, hey, Daddy-O.
Hey, Daddy-O.
There's a daddy. I just finished reading while I was there the last book that Kurt Vonnegut wrote called A Man Without a Country. And I basically wanted to write him a tribute since he died shortly after writing that. And I used a similar style in my poetic conveyance in honoring him that he used in his actual writings. And it's called Auf Wiedersehen, Kurt Vonnegut, because he was actually a German-born American. And I am a German in America, so I figured there was a parallel there somewhere. But it's called Auf Wiedersehen, Kurt Vonnegut. A zeitgeist, if there ever was one, of the atrocities of war. A German-born American on a dark, declining shore. You were a man without a country before you'd sailed your tide, though your literary legacies may evoke a certain stride. With your silences now broken and your readership true, may this summon to action all that's well overdue. You weren't afraid to tell the truth, you were not afraid to speak, to these United States of complacency that have left us dire and weak. All our daily propaganda, serving only economy concerns, leaves the truth to be desired while the grand deception churns. Even in the face of devastations, while we're dangling on a rope, we are governed by the politics of the incessant, fearful scope. We're alive amid an era in which the corporate forests burn, and where nature and her children validate zero concern. While the world chokes on pollution, we are cutting nature's lungs for the greedy bottom dollar on the ladder of ambition's rungs. Could we be any more stupid by our governmental flaws in permitting new bureaucracies to violate our laws? An animal's life is a condemnation to the murderous sins of man. May we not forget God's eyes upon us and the actions by which we are damned. The way of the church has become the way of the mouse, a cultivation of doom in a sadly ornate house. Where our shepherds and bishops are all counting the take, as a graveyard of churches continue claiming their stake. We teach our children not to steal, nor to lie or to provoke, while the ones we choose to lead us are an obscene mocking joke. Gangsters rule the country with an ever-darkening plight, and we're fading with the twilight from the middle, left, and right. In his war with Adolf Nixon, John Lennon questioned those in charge and wondered why the lunatics so often steer the barge. So long, Mr. Vonnegut. We'll miss you while you're gone. A man without a country is now our collective song. In this pilgrimage of fear that governs by the blood of immoral wars, we are but subject to an ancient coven and instrumental to its flaws. America's going tribal to a party to belong. The United States of rhetoric are coming on too strong. Auf Wiedersehen, Kurt Vonnegut. We truly enjoyed your stay. It seems Slaughterhouse 5 is in the makings of a strange new day. And your breakfast of champions, no longer in the home of the brave, bids welcome to the monkey house, from cat's cradle to the grave. The lunatics are at the helm of self-serving bloody toils, where couch potatoes click remotes to keep distant from the spoils. Our children are mere cannon fodder to democracies imposed, and we send them less than willingly as the truth becomes exposed. The Patriot Act is a dance among devils to the power of the fooled, and blood is going to burn white hot until the oil-soaked regions cooled. Bushwhacked Americana has fallen from her grace and is shelved among procurements where old Satan sees his face. So long, Mr. Vonnegut.
Yeah, so long, Mr. Vonnegut. Yeah. That was great.
Yeah, it's good.
I enjoyed that. That made me think about the current controversy over Reverend Wright.
Oh, my Lord.
Jeremiah Wright,
mm-hmm.
Who has been essentially denounced by Barack Obama, I think unjustifiably so.
I think so, too, because I think he was biting on the truth.
This is exactly the kind of stuff that is what he's talking about.
Yes, exactly.
The things that you're mentioning in this poem. And, in fact, it's a result of, again, of the, I'm not trying to jump into the unmedia yet, but it's a result of the culpability of the media.
Absolutely.
Who are deliberately and have for decades deliberately suppressed the truth.
Well,
when it didn't match up with the ambitions of the corporate cabal.
Well, it's funny. We just did Sinbad last week, and he touched
That's
on
right.
this, and he said something really, really funny. It's like, you know, folks finally figured out that we talk about y'all at church.
Yeah.
Yes.
This actually happens at churches across black churches across the country.
Well,
it happens.
I used to go to one of those churches, and when I lived in Baltimore, I used to attend a predominantly black church.
Right.
It was called Mount Holiness Pentecostal Church.
Right.
And
we're going to talk about these things.
And I never felt so welcomed in any place in my entire life.
They're a lot more fun than white
as I did there. But they talked about everything.
There you go.
And they related everything to their beliefs.
Right. And now,
which isn't done, by the way, in most white churches.
Right.
Okay.
No, in white churches they talk
real. Let's get real about that.
Right.
Now, before we go on, I just want to give one more point about why I think this poem was so important and what it talks about is so important. When I was saying the media doesn't give you the information you need to know, the Jeremiah Wright incident is just a perfect point in case, because he talked about the HIV virus being produced by the U.S. government.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. And nobody in any media outlet has come out and looked into that story. Where did he get that idea?
There's been no plausible denial.
Well, I know where it comes from. Hmm. It comes from the Nobel Prize-winning chemist, Kary Mullis, who invented PCR, which is the methodology that allows for duplication of DNA, and that is why we now have a DNA industry that's as huge as it is, because this guy, this genius, Kary Mullis, invented this process, PCR, polymer chain reaction. He is the guy who came out with a scholarly explanation of how we ended up with AIDS.
Right.
And he says that it could not possibly have developed without genetic engineering.
Right.
Because so many of the attributes of this virus do not exist in nature. Right. They never have, and they never will.
Well, see, in the black community, we've been talking about that for decades.
Well, so have people around the world.
Yeah, decades.
In the U.S., it's been heavily suppressed.
Right. Well, see, you don't hear about it, but in my hood, my neighborhood, it's been, like I said, we've been talking about it for decades.
And some of that, the responsibility for some of that is that there are people in the community who listen to other stuff. They don't
aren't just
on the mainstream media.
And
they're listening to Farrakhan.
Right.
They're listening to people who actually go out and find this information.
Well, see, this perfect segue into what's missing with our hip hop right now, because they don't listen to everything.
Let me add one more thing
to that
perfect little segue. I just want to say that the European countries tried in every way possible to warn us even before 9/11 that our government was acting against us.
Right.
But of course, we drowned them out with freedom fries and all that sort of rubbish.
There were more than a dozen warnings from foreign countries.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the reason those warnings were not heeded was because the U.S. people in the government already knew this was happening, because they're the ones who planned it.
Right.
That's why they didn't listen.
So over to Demos.
And what we're talking about with just listening to different things and being out there, when we talk about old school hip hop like KRS-One and those guys, there's one piece of one of his songs, right? And I remember it because it's like, ooh, what's the matter with your MC Marley Mall? Don't you know that he's out of touch? What's the matter with your DJ, MC Shan? Now, all of this piece is taken from Billy Joel.
Yeah, that's Billy Joel.
But it's Billy Joel. But listening to various things, opening our minds to just this same little click of people, same stuff over and over again, is kind of where hip hop is right now, because we keep hearing the same kids saying the same things over and over again, and nobody's talking about anything different because they're not listening to anything different. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to hear Billy Joel, or you want to hear any other type of music, it's coming back a little bit more, where you have more of the pop radio stations that play a little bit of everything now. But for a long stretch of time between the mid 80s and, gosh, somewhere in 2000, everything split up. When we were growing up in the 60s and 70s and early 80s, everything was on the same station. So we got exposed to Run DMC and Chicago, and the various other genres.
They weren't all purchased and owned by the same corporation, for one thing,
right?
With political interests,
right. And now everything is split. So you hear the same thing on this radio station, but if you want to hear something else, you got to look for it. Well, a lot of these kids don't even want to look for it because they're good right here. They're stuck.
Yeah.
But back on the piece that you were doing, since we were getting a little darker, because I'm from that generation that we write about different things. This is called Last Night Breathing. This whole piece is about a guy on his knees with a gun to his head.
Last Night Breathing.
Uh-huh. Pressed to my temple. The hammer is cocked. Safety off the Glock. This is where the bus stops. Props on the blocks. Kingpins with the rocks. Stocks from cops. Right now I hear my heart pounding in my throat. My hope is on the scope. His neck is in my rope. Is this man still with me? They better come free me. Did they set me up? Why? But right now I see my whole flat life flashing by. Running down the block. Basketball big as heck. Took two or three tries to touch the bottom of the nets. Jet with my click. Who's next to get stepped? Squashed by my squad. At 13 we was hard. Moms couldn't handle when the street lights came on. Flame on. Johnny Quest caught up in this mess. Every step that I took me to take me to get here. So hard right now that I don't shed a tear. How did the money and the blame, pursuit of the cream, make me lose everything? In the flash of a light when the hammer's cocked back, no way of going back. Is this my last night? Pressed on my temple, my life still flashing. Cashing my first check, snatching my first necklace, breaking my heart, racing at the fast pace. Facing mom and them old fool values, old school values that I couldn't stand. Now my life's dangling in the hands of this other man. I'll be done. My first day of high school, fool came to school with all that jewelry on. Beat him down, we gone. Fix it to the pawn. Shop the first, where we first got our first hammer. Time to step up, stick ups. Don't get up, ski masks and stuff. Robberies turn to homicides in the blink of an eye. The high, the rush, 5 G's ain't enough. Caught my first pack. I'm flipping, I'm stepping up. Now I put my heat on like I put on my drawers. Seems like yesterday I was walking high school street halls. How did the money and the bling, pursuit of the cream, make me lose everything? In the flash of the light when the hammer's cocked back, no way of going back. Is this my last night? Pressed to my temple. Down on my knees, hand behind my back. I ain't begging, kid, please. Death is imminent. It's part of life, but I just didn't think it was coming tonight. I see myself 16, kingpin dreams, taking over territory like it ain't no thing. Seeing all big faces, blunts by the acres, sipping Moet with that Cristal chaser. Mom still screaming at 3 o'clock in the morning, hollering about school and am I still going? Not knowing about my juice and family, I made more in a week than the darn teacher's salary. Right now, I hear her words echo through my head. Why now? Right now, I'm just about dead. Respect your elders, do right by others. All I want to say right now is, I love you, mother. How did the money and the bling, pursuit of the cream, make me lose everything? In the flash of the light when the hammer's cocked back, no way of going back. Is this my last night?
I got you.
And that's like the opening to a set that I do. It's like the beginning of the set that I do that piece first, and the last thing you hear is pow. So that's the death of the old. And then we come back with some new stuff.
There you go.
Let me contribute a little something to that, and then we're going to go to the Unmedia for a second.
There we go.
I lived in New York City for a while back in 89, 90, and ran a bar as night manager of the Blue Star Bar on 106th and Broadway. And the thing that amazed me most about New York City was seeing the homeless, how they lived in the subways down below, how they walked the streets, and how people, for the most part, turned a blind eye. I had my $5 bill every time I passed a certain few that I knew would see to it that nobody else would bug me. I put a five in their pockets. I had my little little route planned. People that took care of me, I took care of them. And I tried to give as much as I could, but you can run out of money given to everybody there.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of them are pretty smart and actually are making money by standing on enough street corners. You can put some money in your pocket.
Oh, yeah, man.
But I was so engrossed and got quite emotional seeing this. I mean, I think I saw dead people on park benches that I just knew had expired during the night under that newspaper that's covering their head. And saw some very sad things in the subways down below. But I got so emotional about it that I couldn't write this in New York City and didn't really write this piece called Sidewalk Shadows until I came home back to North Carolina. It's written from the perspective of a homeless person talking to you, to any of us.
Okay.
Some people cared enough to listen just the other day, and as sure as I am dying, it was good to have them stay. Before another wintry morning makes my bed and chills my soul, before the night leaves me no promise, as the devils take their toll. We're all mere ghosts upon the sidewalks and in the subways down below. If you saw their eyes dismiss us, you would know, friend, you would know. Lord, I'm tired and so weary, and I have no place to sleep. Lord, I got no one to talk to, and no promises to keep. My shoes are plenty worn and tattered, destined for a dead man's stroll, and I feel like the laces are tied to my soul. My feet are both infected beyond any doctor's cure, and the blood my lungs are coughing is an ailing sign for sure. No one heeds me, no one needs me in my subterranean home, in my cardboard makeshift mansions where I curl and sleep alone. The elements are not endearing on the sidewalks or below, and time is only time for fearing summer's heat and winter's snow. My sleep is homeless desperation, seeking any vacant lot, any realm of dark abandon, any void where dreams are not. Am I light obscured by shadow? Am I dark made manifest? I see it in the eyes that mock me, and I hear it when they jest. Beware the Alpha and Omega, shepherd and bishop of our souls, Lord of all, horn of salvation, when his judgment fury rolls. Though I be damned by my misfortunes and haunted by most every stare, my hell is in an empty silence, while theirs lies in the devil's snare. Beneath the streetlights of the city, my demons visibly abound. Within the deafening sounds of silence, I can hear them coming round. Call me fool, forlorn, or drunkard, far too gone to yield control. Beware neglect, made staunch by judgment, for in it you may lose your soul.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's good stuff.
Good
right
stuff.
There.
That's that tune. But that's I was so wrapped up in that, in feeling that way, that I couldn't write. I didn't have the objectivity to write it until later.
Yeah.
And the mayor of Lizard Lake actually helped me come up with the title, Sidewalk Shadows, after hearing it. I had no title at the time.
Thank you, Charles.
Yes, indeed. So anyway, Demos, do you want to follow that up with one, and then we'll go to the unmedia content of the show today?
Yes, we can.
Or you can follow the unmedia if you want to.
Let's follow the unmedia.
I think John Paul is
ready.
Yeah,
let's give John Paul
for
a
his
there.
Jimmy Carter referendum there.
Well, hello, boys and girls. Welcome to the unmedia.
Can we have some peanuts?
Yeah. Can we have some peanuts, please? This is a piece that was published yesterday by Jimmy Carter.
And has not yet made full circulation in the media, as we know.
Well, it won't get full circulation in the media, but it will get some attention in, you know, among those who really want to hear the truth.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
So, as everybody probably knows, at least most people would know that Carter has been assailed by the media and the Democrats and Republicans for a book that he wrote. Mm-hmm. Which compared the situation in Israel to apartheid South Africa, which in fact it is. They built an apartheid wall, and it's really an apartheid form of government. They have separation of privileges inside Israel as well as throughout Israel-Palestine. So this is Jimmy Carter, the human rights crime in Gaza, posted May 12th, 2008. 1.5 million human beings are being imprisoned with almost no access to the outside world. We can't sit idly by. The world is witnessing a terrible human rights crime in Gaza, where 1.5 million human beings are being imprisoned with almost no access to the outside world. An entire population is being brutally punished. This gross mistreatment of the Palestinians in Gaza was escalated dramatically by Israel with United States backing, after political candidates representing Hamas won a majority of seats in the Palestinian Authority Parliament in 2006. The election was unanimously judged to be honest and fair by all international observers. Israel and the U.S. refused to accept the right of Palestinians to form a unity government with Hamas and Fatah, and now, after internal strife, Hamas alone controls Gaza. 41 of the 43 victorious Hamas candidates who lived in the West Bank have been imprisoned by Israel, plus an additional 10 who assumed positions in the short-lived coalition cabinet. Regardless of one's choice in the partisan struggle between Fatah and Hamas within occupied Palestine, we must remember that economic sanctions and restrictions on the supply of water, food, electricity, and fuel are causing extreme hardship among the innocent people in Gaza, about 1 million of whom are refugees. Israel bombs and missiles periodically strike the area, causing high casualties among both militants and innocent women and children. Prior to the highly publicized killing of a woman and her four children last week, the pattern had been illustrated by a reporter from Bet Salam, the leading Israeli human rights organization, which stated that 106 Palestinians were killed between February 27th and March 3rd. 54 of them were civilians, and 25 were under the age of 18. On a recent trip through the Middle East, I attempted to gain a better understanding of the crisis. One of my visits was to Sderot, a community of about 20,000 in southern Israel that is frequently struck by rockets fired from nearby Gaza. I condemned these attacks as abominable acts of terrorism, since most of the 13 victims during the past 7 years have been non-combatants. Subsequently, I met with leaders of Hamas, a delegation from Gaza, and the top officials in Damascus. I made the same condemnation to them and urged that they declare a unilateral ceasefire or orchestrate with Israel a mutual agreement to terminate all military action in and around Gaza for an extended period. They responded that such action by them in the past had not been reciprocated, and they reminded me that Hamas had previously insisted on a ceasefire throughout Palestine, including Gaza and the West Bank, which Israel had refused. Hamas then made a public proposal of a mutual ceasefire restricted to Gaza, which the Israelis also rejected. Now, I'm just going to interject here. This everybody should remember, this is President Carter talking.
Former U.S. president.
Right. And he has gone there himself and talked with people himself, and he's really giving you the straight story.
Very possibly the only honest president we've had.
Right. Okay, let's see. Where was I?
At the very least, he was God-fearing.
They responded that such action by them in the past had not been reciprocated. I already read that one. There are fervent arguments heard on both sides concerning blame for a lack of peace in the Holy Land. Israel has occupied and colonized the Palestinian West Bank, which is approximately a quarter of the size of the nation of Israel, as recognized by the international community. Some Israeli religious factions claim a right to the land on both sides of the Jordan River. Others, that their 205 settlements of some 500,000 people are necessary for security, which, by the way, my aside, is complete and utter bullcrap. All Arab nations have agreed to recognize Israel fully if it will comply with key United Nations resolutions. Hamas has agreed to accept any negotiated peace settlement between the president of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, and Israeli Prime Minister Olmert, provided it is approved in a referendum of the Palestinian people. What an idea. Let's see if the people, can they have a right to vote on whether they'll accept this arrangement? It's a treaty. Okay, this holds promise of programs, but despite the brief fanfare and positive statements at the peace conference last November in Annapolis, the process has gone backwards. 9,000 new Israeli housing units have been announced in Palestine. By the way, it's illegal to build houses in occupied territory.
I would say so.
Violates the Geneva Convention. The number of roadblocks within the West Bank has increased, not decreased, and the stranglehold on Gaza has been tightened. It is one thing for other leaders to defer to the U.S. in the crucial peace negotiations, but the world must not stand idle while innocent people are treated cruelly. It is time for strong voices in Europe, the U.S., Israel, and elsewhere to speak out and condemn the human rights tragedy that has befallen the Palestinian people.
And we are doing just that at the Speakeasy.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
So now people really need to go and learn about the history of Israel-Palestine. What's happening there now didn't just start last year or last week or last decade or last century. It started in the late 1800s, and it's been developing ever since there. The original plan of the Zionists was to kick all people out of Palestine and take over the entire area. It's called Eretz Israel. And that's the plan that they've been working on. They claim they're not, but when you look at everything that's been done, every time there's a chance for peace, Israel does something to prevent
that's
it from happening.
True. Yeah, it's never happened.
This crap about Arafat not accepting a peace plan is complete and utter balderdash. He had a great peace plan. The entire Arab League had a great peace plan. Israel is the one who has rejected peace over and over and over again. And it's for one reason. They are puppets of the United States. And the United States wants to be there so we can control the resources of the Middle East. That's why Israel is a nation.
Why do I seem shocked by what you just said?
I'm shocked to hear there's gambling going on in this.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, people can Google some very key words and get some information. Google the Stern Gang. Google the Haganah.
And we can also let our voices be heard by internet, if in no other way.
Right. You got to realize that Menachem Begin was a terrorist.
Right.
He blew up the King David Hotel in 1947. They're terrorists. These people. I'm not saying all Israelis are terrorists, but the people who are in control are criminals.
The governing.
And they have been since the very beginning. They're just dragging these other people along who have legitimate interests, and that's the real story behind Israel. So Google Haganah, Google the Stern Gang, find out the history of Israel.
And that is today's Unmedia with John Paul.
Thank you very much, boys and girls.
Okay. So welcome.
And now, Demos, we need relief. You got some relief there?
I got some relief. We'll take it to a whole different place here. The year is 2060.
I'm going off headset now to do two backflips.
All right, there we go. So once again, I came from that people of storytelling. So this is me. I've been frozen for 70 years, and this is the whole storyline. Is that what happens is that these aliens, these people get in contact with these aliens, and they come in. So and instead of you being able to just freestyle and come creatively with your hip hop, they can just give you a hip hop implant. Mm-hmm. So if you want to sound like Run DMC, instead of writing and learn how to write, you just go to the store and get a hip hop implant. So I'm the rebel. I get frozen and sent off, and here we go.
Careful, you might be giving our government some ideas.
Bottle that stuff and sell it.
There you go. The year is 2060. After being frozen for 60 years, Demos and Ganja Bass have been back on the scene. The haters from 1999 have all been removed. The world of hip-hop don't know what's coming. The world has changed. People are flying in cars. Hip-hop implants in minds. Aliens of all kinds think they got skills, but real is real. The year is 2060. You still rolling with me? D to the MO, back in the mix. GE, revived. Overdrive, taking it. We'll never fake it. Hip hop is back alive. Still growing. All y'all knowing. The real dogs showing that millennium mayhem. Still trying to slay him. I'll be darned if I let the Martian cats win. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Dirt still done under the sun and the moonlight. The struggle still here. Now they want me to live in fear, but I fear no man. Like I said, in 99, them aliens will never make me go up and running high, man. The quest saw the journey to see who's worthy. Ganja bass, bring that beat we played last week, G. Yeah, because couldn't handle me way back then, but I'm still going for this shit. When will it end? Now they flying in cars and got hip-hop implants. Alien sounding rank with no lead in the tanks, man. An alley still an alley, man. A punk is still a punk with no weight in the trunk, and they still popping junk. A new day, kid, man. A new way to kick it. I got to flip this like an atom, yo. Can you dig it? Mission to Mars is like a daily event, and now I got alien cats trying to flip the script. What the heck is this? Shut them down, boy. Shut them down, boy. The year is 2060. Hip-hop is still alive. Ganja bass, Demos, esoteric to infinity. I blast off in my hover glider, you know, like a low rider. I still got haters that try to deny the sound that they weighed way back. Back then, futuristic funk that we was like aiming for their chin. I bust a cipher in a transport shelter. I belt out a couple of flows. I met a couple of tight kids and this weird-looking young boy. My frozen for 60 years. My peers wouldn't fear that GE flavor that we were breaking off in the air. So I jump back in my glider and shoot straight off to Mars because I got the tip from this weird kid. That's where the stars are. Ganja bass threw me a hat, burnt me a CD. He said, take it along with me, man, but don't do nothing crazy, D. Shut them down, boy. Shut them down, boy. I step into the club. This mic is floating around his head. Some cat from Jupiter. I don't understand a word he said, so I pick up the translator and put it up to my ear because I still couldn't hear because it was so whack that it's clogging up my ear. Who's next? I see the MC standing on the table. Demos from Groupie. I toss my CD. Yeah, I'm able. Feeling tension. Did I mention not all the humans at this convention? Some implants. Now all these aliens think they can win, but nothing compares to real flavor from real cats with real tracks. So I come on that real attack. I see a laser out of my pea vision. This Martian coming in the corner. Now my only decision is to flip it and leave live, but the laser's coming through the door, kid. I'm trying to tell you, it's like a scene out of Star Wars, kid. So I snatch my CD and hit my glider. Now, I ain't a bitch, but 50 aliens, one human. Now, what do you think I'm going to pick? Shut them down, boy. So I'm not even going to. So that's just a. You gotta
sounds
get
like that could go on a while.
It can take go. It's one road. More verse, but you know what I mean? So, but it's just some future. That's nice. And that's something that's different. Nice. Something
like
to take
that.
People's
like
minds somewhere
that's good,
else.
It's good. Yeah. You know? That was John Paul on percussions with his lips.
Some old
hey, John Paul, let's follow that with a percussion of our own. We did a piece called Ghost Walker's Lament that I wrote some years ago, which goes back to the American Indian and is spoken as an American Indian. My late best friend was a full-blooded Cherokee, and I have a real heart for the American Indian culture. It's very much how I see life, their belief system.
Yeah, and this is called. I'm about a quarter
Native
American
I've
myself.
I've got some of that myself. My great-grandfather was Cherokee.
Ah, well, good. Then we're all in good company.
Yep.
Hey.
So this is called Ghost Walker's Lament. The background is provided by John Paul McLaren, the Indian war drums.
Ghost Walker's Lament. Visions of white hands encroach upon our villages like a sweeping mist with death in its wake. They enfold the hands of our elders, chiefs, high priests, and wise men in pretensions of honor, but their promises bear no fruit. In exchange for this desolation, we were asked to sell our heartlands and begin a pilgrimage to where the eagle does not soar, the buffalo do not roam, and vultures fear to tread the thirsty soil. But I say unto you, in the true spirit of my people, and all that once cast shadows upon these grasses, how can we sell you the song of the birds or the croaking of the frogs, the winds that sweep across the plains, the rhythms of the rain, or the currents in the stream? How can we sell what we do not possess? And by what unguided authority may you claim such purchase as your own?
And that was that. That was called Ghost Walker's Lament.
Yes, sir.
Written with a lot of love years ago.
Yeah.
And I think, Demos, we have time for maybe one more of your rap
nine
sessions,
more.
And all then right. John Paul and I are probably going to have to bring the agenda to a close. This
right.
is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else, coming
yes.
at you from
and
WCOM.
I want to say thank you for having me on the show.
People, it's a pleasure. It won't be the last time.
Yes.
Well,
yes,
also,
yes,
did we forget to do the station ID?
I think you did. Ha ha.
And you did it at the top.
Okay,
of the
I forgot it then.
I did announce.
He did it.
You go ahead.
This is WCOM LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
And this is us tripping over our own feet to get there.
But we got here just the same.
Back to Demos.
All right, here we go. Cleverly we creep in, catching who's sleeping. You can get caught up inside of the groove. We be orchestrating while your pupils dilating. You don't understand how we keep it all on the move. Down to devour all of them cowards, perpetrating frauds on the people at large. Talking about big cars, women and bars, bringing everybody down our elevating like stars. Time for us to wake up. Time for us to take up mental arms, mental combat with these class. Blaze a new trail. Fall where you fail. Elevate your mind. Like to elevate in the gap. Can't be that simple. I'm talking mental. If it ain't about a hustle, then I ain't even on. But I gotta but I can stack paper up like skyscrapers, and I ain't gotta worry about whose turf I'm on.
I understand.
Eh. I ain't gotta worry about whose turf I'm on. That's why I'm trying to put some mental, get these children in some education. Get some education. You don't have to worry about what gun is coming around the corner, cause you're in school somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get on that corner and do a rap. Gang to gang. Get it
something
worked
about
out.
Elevating your people, you know.
Blow that steam.
Developing get, this community. You
get
know?
Ignorance out of the system.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And if we can, you know, we get. And one of the beautiful things about swinging back to politics a little bit, there's a lot more youth involved. A lot more
that
youth
involved.
That is
the
involved.
Good thing to see this time.
It is.
Thanks
it
to
is,
Barack
you know?
Obama, who seems
and,
to be
and Hillary. Barack and Hillary. I mean, this Democratic race is really generating a lot of buzz with youth. Whoever wins may the best man or woman win. Mm-hmm. But
It is actually a race for a change.
It is. It is. And it's good to see a lot of the youth and the American populace on a whole really more involved in this. So we'll see how that all works out. Because once they get in the White House, then switch. So we'll see.
Yeah, right. Let's hope they keep their
we'll
word
see.
For more than a week.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
I have to say that one of the things that I really do like about the current situation is that more people are getting involved.
Yes.
That's the one aspect
yes.
of it that I really feel good about.
It could actually turn the tables.
It's definitely good no matter what happens.
Right.
It's good that people are more aware.
Right.
And I think that can be nothing but a positive. Now, I'm not in favor of any of the candidates.
Right, I'm not endorsing anybody. I'm not a super delegate.
Not only am I not endorsing them, I do not. I'm not going to vote for them.
They're right. politicians.
And they're not doing what I want done.
Right.
The people that I want got drummed out of the race long ago by the media.
I understand.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I do think it's a good sign that more people are becoming involved.
So, folks, we're going to call this a wrap. This is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else coming at you. We had Demost as our special guest today, and we'll have him on again.
Thank you.
Thanks for your wrap. And John Paul is my co-host. And this is yours truly, Claudio, signing off, bidding you adieu or cheers until next time.
Peace.
Once again, a chill night wind blows its gales across the sea. As the sunset casts an inflamed and rippled hue across the waters. Vast distances of liquid motion stretch their infinity before me. And I have rarely felt so free. The sails are drawn for a night of rest. Where I go from here, the sea knows best. As the veils of night descend upon me, the moon emits its silvery canvas against a spectacle of aquatic celebration, as is only seen by night. The stars are scattered worlds of light against an opaque sky, and the nightfall is a constant whisper of the mysteries around me. Truly, all description would defy the beauty I choose herein to proclaim. Yet still, though encompassed by more wonder than many a man has e'er freed his soul to admire, my thoughts are adrift with the song of my heart, and the song of my heart with the voice of my soul. Adrift, 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 drifting ever back to you.